And I need you to understand something. I don't say things to hurt people. I guess it does hurt people, but that's not my purpose. My purpose is not to hurt. My purpose is not even to make people mad. I don't know why I make people mad so much. I don't mean to make people mad. I don't mean for people to hate me or dislike. Who wants to be hated? Man. Who wants to be disliked? Man, we like to be liked and like to be wanted and needed and all that kind of stuff. And so it's not ever a prerogative. I guess sometimes, in some cases, I say things, you know, but not in the pulpit most time. It's out in my private life where I say stuff just to make some people mad because they need to be mad. But I provoke them a little bit. But it's all for fun in those cases most time, unless something odd happens. But I want to say this to you. I don't know if you noticed it. And that's, I'm trying to expose things. But Wednesday night, when I got to talking about them devils, they got pretty active. Now, don't let that surprise you. They saw them sitting in here today, too. I mean, don't let that surprise you. It's not like what we think, ladies and gentlemen, but they're dangerous. They're brutal. They're ugly. They're nasty. They're wicked. They're straight out of the pits of hell. But I'm just telling you, and I'm not telling you because I'm mad. I just want you to be aware of things and aware of what's going on around you. I love people that's got devils. I know people that's got devils, and I love them. I absolutely love them. No problem.
Man.
Now, I'm going to point one out just for the sake of pointing it out, but the devil's got rowdy Wednesday night. And you can say what you want to, but it is what it is. And, you know, I'm dealing with the stuff that Paul was dealing with over in Corinth. And people didn't want to believe what he said either. And then when I stand up and say it in 2021, people still don't want to believe it. But we've been trying to tell you that, you know, we're not doing this out of craftiness. And we're not doing this, you know, out of hypocrisy. We're not just trying to help you understand some things because, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's a reason. There's a reason as to why all this stuff is going on, and we think the way we think and see things the way we see things and don't see things the way we should see things. But the little girl that was here, and I'm not picking on her. I'm not being ugly. I just want you to understand that sat right over here, when I got to preaching on them devils, she actually covered her ears up and turned around and said, "It's too loud." And that ain't nothing but devils. Because the preaching, in reality, it may be loud, bouncing off these walls, and we've tried to put some softeners, you know, around the building to keep things from, you know, bouncing. Yeah, Miss Holly, you remember what it was like before anything was in this building? God help us. We gathered around right there about where Nathan is, and we had a kerosene heater in here, and we got us some chairs, and we sat in this place and prayed over it. Well, you couldn't understand the prayers, but I'm glad God could. You couldn't talk to each other. You couldn't sit over here and talk to each other. It the reverb of what was so bad, it was so bad, it unnerves you to sit and listen or talk in here. But she covered her ears. Did it make me mad? No. Did it make me hate her? No. I love her. I hope she comes back and brings her little devils and gets rid of them. Amen. Because Amber can tell you that riding down the road with her, she's twice as loud as what I am in this building. And I hadn't talked to Miss Amber about that. And Miss Amber, don't you lie for me. Don't you dare stress the truth. But I guarantee that little girl's as loud as I am while she's riding down the road in the cab of that truck. Am I wrong? You say, what would make somebody cover their ears? That's them devils. Preacher, that's crazy. No, it's not crazy.
Man.
That's what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's going on. And I'm not saying this just because of her. There was a lot of devilish activity when I got on that stuff Wednesday night. It wasn't just her. Them devils was about, they was getting real uncomfortable. Now, I need you to understand, that's what causes that kind of stuff. That didn't come from God. My God, man, I know that I'm loud, but I'm nowhere near as loud as some. Hey, listen, how come people can come to church and do that and then ride down the road and you can't have a speaker big enough, so what they have to do is put a booster on it, an amplifier and an equalizer, and, you know, I mean, it's amazing. I was walking out of Lowe's the other day, and I believe my wife was with me. One of y'all get me some paper towels. I ain't got no hanky today. One of you kids grab me a couple paper towels. That's right, Nathan. And I don't want to spit all over you and blow boogers and all that, but I was walking out of Lowe's the other day, and me and my wife was probably 100 feet away, and here was a little dude sitting in a truck, you know, black, blaring his rap music like everybody in the Lowe's parking lot and in the Lowe's store. Thank you, Nathan. You're the only kid in here that's right with God today. He brought me a bunch. He must think I spit a lot. How is it that people can do that and sit in a vehicle? And you know what I'm talking about. I've often thought about having a bullhorn on my car like you did back in the day. And when you pull up at the stoplights and they're playing that stupid music, like gas station, like everybody out there wants to hear what they're listening to. Just get Rick Rose in his rarest form and throw a CD in there. Just have a little section of it when he's in his rarest form, that street preacher, and just blow that bullhorn off my car. I'd love to do it, man. I'd love to do stuff like that. You think I want to hear that? Here, let me let you hear something. What makes that stuff happen? I'm going to tell you what it is. That's just devils, those unclean spirits that we're dealing with in this world today. And so I just wanted to say that, getting started, because I need you to understand and see this stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll start reading. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I'm doing every bit of this stuff to get, I think, to one or two main points that we probably still won't get to today. But I'm trying to get a foundation laid so that when we get there, man, it'll just help us. Do you understand that most church services and preaching today is choreographed? That's the world that we're living in. I mean, preachers stand in the mirror and they rehearse what they're going to say, and they practice it. And many of them today will go down to the church and they'll choreograph the entire service. I made mention in here a couple weeks ago, praise teams. And they put these praise teams together. And you think those praise teams just show up, plugged in with the Holy Ghost, and whatever happens, happens? No, they go to church and they rehearse everything. They practice everything. And I believe in doing things decently and in order, and I think you ought to have some songs on your heart and maybe some things on your mind, you know, but you always, you know, before you get to church, but you always have to be led of the Holy Ghost. All that stuff that you have on your mind, you know, if we have a meeting, I kind of have an idea of that meeting, of that service that we're going into. But how many times if I went into those services with something on my mind and the Holy Ghost stepped in there and it went absolutely nothing like what was on my mind? Choreographed. That's exactly what's being practiced in our day. Choreography in the house of God. And if it's not the preacher, then we've got such a rut in our life that we go through the same motions and act the same old way and carry ourselves. Listen, man, instead of letting the Holy Ghost get a hold of us, instead of letting the Holy Ghost do some work in our life, instead of letting the Word of God minister to us, we go through the same motion, almost as if it's choreographed. This is what we do. What's wrong with busting out of that norm and responding to God and maybe being obedient to the Lord and getting a little bit beside yourself every once in a while? What's wrong with that? Maybe the Holy Ghost wants you to embarrass yourself a little bit.
Amen.
I tell you, most time if you do anything for God, it's going to embarrass you, because the flesh and the spirit don't mix, and your flesh ain't for the things of God, and it's going to make your flesh feel stupid. I watch services on YouTube. I listen to preaching, and I'll go in there sometimes and watch services, and people send me stuff to watch, and I'm telling you, most of it is just a bunch of practiced and rehearsed church services. It seems like all you're watching is a Broadway show,
right,
with a religious title over it. I watched one the other day, and they was singing specials. Well, I don't know how they do it. It's weird the way they do it. Their choir stands up there, but yet they've got like a quartet of people that, you know, is the front runners and the main focus. But they call it the choir, and they get up there and they sing. And man, I don't want to get off on that, but it's about wicked to watch some of it. But then the preacher stands up between the songs, and he goes at it a little bit. He shouts, and all he was just doing, Brother Church, was setting up the next song. Like, he already knew what was going to be sung next, and he knew what he had to say before they could sing the next song. And he was just building that thing up so that when they do sing this, man, we can reach this plateau now, and people can get involved and shout and praise and run around a little bit. There's been times riding down the road in my vehicle, and nobody was stepping in and building any things up. But there's been times riding down the road in my vehicle where God just come in there, and just out of the blue, we just started shouting it out and having service right there in the car. Amen. Nobody had to choreograph anything. Nobody had to plan anything. Man, just riding down the road and just sit there and spend some time with Jesus, all of a sudden he comes up in the vehicle, and you don't even know how you got down the last 10 miles you got down.
Amen.
I mean, somewhere 10, 15 miles down the road, you go, praise God. But how in the world did I just get from where I was at to here? You don't remember a bit of it. Just get caught up in the things of God. Let me tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. We shouldn't practice God. We shouldn't choreograph and, hey, man, you can't run to the altar boy, crawl. And here's what people do, Mama. People tell me, preacher, you shouldn't say stuff like you do. I don't, man. I don't plan to, you know, be certain ways and practice my messages. And I don't stand in the mirror. I don't record them and go back and listen to them and perfect them. I don't do all that stuff, man. I just try to study and pray. And I do take notes. And most of the time, it's like Brother Tim said, why do you even draw an outline? I went, well, you know, just in case I get off. Brother Vernon, you don't ever even stick to an outline. Why waste your time writing an outline? I said, well, it's good for studying. Sit down and take notes. Let me say this to you, and this is going along with what I'm trying to talk about. I may not be right all the time, and I might say some things that are out of whack, and I might even say some things that are wrong, and I might make some mistakes in what I say. But I'd rather follow the Holy Ghost and make a mistake trying to follow the Holy Ghost than to sit around and practice and choreograph and have my touch, human touch, and have that thing so perfected. I've always enjoyed hearing people sing songs and mess up a little bit.
That's right.
I'm not talking about not practicing and not doing your best for Jesus. I think you're to practice and you're to do your best. I've seen people never put a thing into singing for Jesus, and when they get up there, it's just horrible. I understand that. But man, I'm telling you, they know how to raise their hand on them notes and lower their hand on the notes and sweep their hands on the notes, and all of it's choreographed. But dear God, I'd rather see somebody get up there and be honestly trying for God and miss a word. Amen. You understand that I know how to choreograph a service. I know how to maneuver, and I know how to turn this thing into a machine. Michael could do that. Eric could do that. My church could do that. We could all organize church, ladies and gentlemen, to where this thing was a fine-tuned, listen, machine. But we're not operating a machine here. This is a body. You understand? This is a congregation, and there's saved people in here, and there's lost people in here. And I'm not looking for... This thing turned into a machine probably back into the 50s. Well, we can go to church and we can operate and we can maneuver and we can manipulate and we can control people and we can do all these things without the presence of the Holy Ghost. And I know exactly how to manipulate people. We're born with that wickedness in our heart to know how to connive people and to manipulate people and to work over people. And to get people's pity, and to get people to feel sorry, and to get people to give money, and all these things. And this stuff is all practiced in our day-to-day. But what we're trying to do is follow the Holy Ghost. We're trying to follow the Lord. I know exactly what these preachers are doing. I know how they do it. I've been around long enough to see it. I know how we could take this little congregation from 30 to 300. That ain't boasting. Folks, we could just change a few things in our standards and our convictions and our beliefs, a few things in the Word of God, and I'm telling you, we could go from 30 to 300. Hey, listen, man, ain't hardly nobody living right no more.
Right.
They ain't hardly nobody living right no more. They ain't hardly nobody living right no more. You can't find a handful of churches like this from the East Coast to the West. I'm telling you, it's different. It's odd. It's out there today, man. Some of those that you think are right and plugged in and they put on such a good show, they live so ungodly outside the church.
Right.
I'm not here to judge them. I'm not here to throw stones. I'm trying to get somewhere. I don't come to church and see, we almost got us a rut that this is what we do. And we sing a few songs and we go to Sunday school. And I come up in churches, ladies and gentlemen. Well, when I got to Cinnamon Street, you didn't know if you was going to make it to Sunday school or not. You just didn't know. I mean, you think you're coming to church and we're going to come in here and we're going to dismiss and the kids over there. And do you know many times I'm praying, God, do you even want us to have Sunday school in the morning? Lord, do you even want us to have Sunday school? If you don't want us to have Sunday school, God, you show me and you show me what to do. We don't have to have Sunday school. The kids don't have to go over there and get a snack and a Bible lesson. And we don't have to sit here and listen to Zach or Brother Church. And you don't have to listen to me. It ain't like that. I can remember being at Cinema Street and I had my little Sunday school lesson. I sit right there and I had my little Sunday school lesson. But my Sunday school lesson wasn't for the congregation. It was for a bunch of 12-year-olds. And my pastor got up first thing before Sunday school. We'd go in there and maybe sing a song or pray a prayer and dismiss. But he stood in the pulpit this morning and he said, Brother David, you come give us a word. I didn't. I wasn't prepared for that. And I was living right. I was living clean. I was trying to live for God and trying to live holy. And I just didn't have a word for the congregation that morning. Well, I didn't tell him I didn't. I done learned that lesson. So I got up out of my pew and I always sat about right here. And by the time Brother Church, my foot, we had about 4 or 5 steps up on the platform. By the time my foot hit that second step, the Lord said, look up, for your redemption's drawing nigh.
Hey.
Son, I got in that pulpit and I turned to that passage and I told him, I said, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. And I'm telling you, for the next 2 hours, I don't have a clue what happened. I'm telling you, for the next 2 hours, I don't have a clue what happened. Man, the glory of God fell. I mean, the glory of God fell. And I got plugged into the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And I couldn't tell you for the next 2 hours what happened to save my entire life. And man, when it was all over, we had this old boy sit over here. His name was Pee Wee Hayes. Old Pee Wee was about 7 foot, about like Tim McVeigh before Tim lost all the weight. Looked like he ate the new Tim McVeigh. And old Brother Pee Wee walked up to me. He said, "Hey, boy," he said, "you've heard about it. You've talked about it. You've heard others talk about it." He said, "Boy, finally, praise God, you got to experience it." I said, "Praise God." Man, I didn't know what was going on, but I knew that glory fell in there on that thing. We didn't have Sunday school. Son, we just enjoyed God, worshiped God, got caught up in the glory of God. Jesus passed by. Amen. And I'm telling you, man, I couldn't tell you what in the world happened in that time frame. I know what happened with me and God. I know I had a time in Jesus, but I don't know what anybody else done. And I don't know anything else that I said. I don't know anything else I said. We was in a camp meeting down there. We had camp meeting at that church, and we had camp meeting on Sunday morning. We had camp meeting on Wednesday night. Brother Leroy always kindly boasted, they said you can't build churches off of camp meetings. Well, he did. And I mean, it was a camp meeting atmosphere almost every service. You wasn't getting out of church without doing some shouting. Amen. Am I lying? I mean, son, if church was about half dead and there wasn't nobody shouting, somebody was fixing to go over here and start singing. We was going to shout before we left. Old Brother Leroy told me, he said, "I had to get out of the South." He said, "The South has done dried up and died." He said, "Man, they got cheerleaders up there where I go in up north." He said, "I'm talking about cheerleaders." He said, "Son, they get to cheering for Jesus." He said, "Man, it gets on." And I said, "Well, that's good. That's good, Doc. I know you're going to have some shouting." Amen. Amen. We was having a camp meeting down there one time, Brother Church, and I'm trying to get somewhere. I was having a camp meeting, and we had this little old missionary come up. Listen, he wasn't fancy. He wasn't no big shot. Didn't nobody even know him. Brother Leroy called him up there and said, "Won't you share a word with us?" Noble got up and this is what he did. You might have been there at this meeting. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." And the Lord showed up. Son, I'm telling you, all he done was read Psalms 23, and I mean, God showed out that day. It got on. That was probably the best service in the entire camp meeting. And all that little guy done, it wasn't rehearsed, it wasn't staged, it wasn't practiced. Son, he got up and opened up the Word of God and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he just said it so plain. He didn't say it real fancy. He didn't say it real hard. He just read it to us, and God fell in on that thing. Because God wants to move.
That's right.
You never know. We never know what God might want to do. The only thing we ought to do is try to be obedient to that still, small voice. If God says do something, I don't care how small or how crazy you think it is. If that still, small voice is God, you ought to be obedient to it.
Amen.
Man, I didn't have a clue what I was going to say to them people that morning. But I know we didn't make it to Sunday school that day. Man. I know that Sunday school carried right on over into the church service, and for 2 hours we sat up in there, and I don't have a clue what all went on.
Amen.
Amen. I know I was caught up in the Holy Ghost. I wasn't talking in tongues and all that. It was spiritual. Amen. It was biblical. It was right. Amen. Amen. You say, "What about it, man?" I was just caught up in the glory of God. And I'm telling you right now, folks, we got our little rituals. We got our prayer closet. We have our time for our prayer closet. What if you get caught up in the Holy Ghost in that prayer closet?
Amen.
I've been caught up in the Holy Ghost in that prayer closet. I'm talking about the glory of God falling in my prayer closet. Amen. And some Baptists don't even like the way I'm talking, Miss Stephanie. But the glory of God is filling my prayer closet. And I mean, you spend 3 hours in there, and it seemed like about 15 minutes.
Amen.
You come up out of there and you think, "Man, I ain't been in here 15 minutes. It's 3 hours later." What is that? The glory of God. Can't put God in a box. I ain't trying to rehearse this stuff.
Right.
Man, I look forward to them times, Mama. I look forward to them times where I go in that prayer closet and praise God, the glory of God falls, and God will let you get into that most holy place. Man. It don't always happen. It don't always happen. But it can happen. Most of us have a little ritual. We're going to say a little old prayer before we go to bed and feel like we've done God a favor and we cleared our conscience. And how about having an open mind and just going, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to go in here till you show up." Amen. He may not show up. May not show up. You may not get no fuzzy feeling. You may not get no goosebumps.
Right.
But here's what the Bible said: the just shall live by faith. Amen. Amen. And sometimes I have to faith this thing, friend. Sometimes I have to get up off my knees by faith and just go on by faith because I didn't get a warm, fuzzy feeling. I didn't get no goosebumps. I didn't have a sensational experience. I didn't experience some emotional little ordeal in my secret place. Sometimes maybe God does want us to go through a little affliction. Sometimes maybe God does want us to exercise a little faith in our life. Look at verse 2, he said one more time. I just wanted to get some of that out of the way. He said, nor by handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now I want you to stop for a second and look at me in my eyeballs. And I'm going to take my Bible in my hand and God as my witness. In the courtroom, they'll make you put your hand on the Bible. Solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And I thought, man, when I was lost, Kimberly, I had to go to that courtroom, and I said, I'm just going to tell them it's against my religion to put my hand on the Bible like that. Because I didn't want to go in there. I knew I was going to lie. I knew I wasn't going to go in there and tell the truth. And I had too much of a superstitious fear for God to go in there and put my hand on the Bible and lie. So I said, well, I just tell the judge, Gunner, it's against my religion to do that. And, you know, I thought that would get me by. And judges ain't buying half this old junk. I ain't never one time, knowingly, purposely, not one time in my life, ever handled the word of God deceitfully.
Amen.
That's Amen. Not my purpose. Amen. That's not my desire. It's not going to profit me one thing, Miss Stephanie. Never one time knowingly have I handled the word. I'm sure I've said some things wrong, but I've never purposely handled the word of God deceitfully. I want to handle it right. I want to tell it like it is. And yet, with that kind of heart in a pastor that God has put that desire in there, man, just to be right and to be honest. And, right. And not that I have to be right, but I want it to be right for the sake of Jesus Christ. And yet people want to sit and argue and people want to get mad. And hey, it's not my prerogative. It's not my desire. It's not my goal to deceive people with the word of God. Preachers looking to deceive you will never really sit and expose the devils in a service like sometimes I might say something about an unclean spirit. Folks, Peter had an unclean spirit. What a great man of God. What a tremendous man of God. But that old spirit got on Peter. Hey, I got news for you. Would you believe that Jesus himself has sent lying spirits? God has sent lying spirits. You know, God's right. Took spirits and made liars out of them and sent them to people to tell them lies. You ain't going to outsmart God. Right. You can't outdo God. God does. That don't seem right, does it? It seems 100% right. God does whatever he wants to, when he wants to, however he wants to, and no matter what he does, it's holy and right. Old Brother Pat and I used to talk about it. God could drink a fifth of liquor and it would make drinking liquor right. Now, don't misunderstand. God would never do that because it's wrong. But if God did it, he would make it right.
That's right.
God ain't going to tell you a lie. But he might send a spiritual way to lie to you. I have never one time purposely handled the word of God deceitfully.
Right.
God is my witness. I'm sure I've said some things wrong, but never with the intention to deceive anybody. I've got in arguments, or not maybe not arguments, but just open discussions where one person believed one thing and I believed another. And I texted Zach this morning. I said, son, you going to preach to him this morning? He said, I don't know. And he said, I've already been dealing with one of them on the King James Bible. Been dealing with one of them on the King James Bible. And I just thought, that poor soul not Zach, but that poor person to sit there and have a different idea of what the Word of God is. Listen, I believe every word of God is pure. Don't you? I believe when the Bible says it, I believe it is pure. Amen. You know, I believe the these and the thous are pure and holy and godly. And I read that little thing the other day. Brother John copied and put something, I think, on the, I think he did. Somebody else sent it to me, but I think Brother John put it on his website. If you ain't looked at it, go look at the these and the thous, how they're singular and plural, and how much weight the these and the thous do carry in the Bible, what they really do mean. And think, well, I don't just get all them these and thous. I tell you, they're very important, the these and thous in that King James Bible. Amen. That's dealing with you as an individual. It's dealing with Jesus Christ as the Savior. It's dealing with us as a congregation. It's very significant to have the these and thous in there. If you take them out of there, you've defiled the Word of God. Amen. You've done messed with Jesus, son. You've done messed with Jesus. He is the Word of God. I don't believe in changing one jot or one tittle in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wouldn't clip his fingernails. I wouldn't manicure his eyebrows. Amen. I wouldn't try to wash his hair. I wouldn't do anything to change Jesus. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? That's what Lucifer did over in the Garden of Eden. Yea, hath God said. He began to call in question the Word of God. He began to change little ideas. And how about an uppercase S and a lowercase S? All the workings of Satan wouldn't change one thing. I was looking at this Bible when Brother Church was going through in Sunday school, and I come across one of those places in your Bible where the S has been changed and in words, and I've took and scratched it out in this Bible and put the right S there and just thought, my goodness gracious, man, the devil never stops trying. And how subtle is that, ladies and gentlemen? You're reading the Bible, and the word spirit is still spirit in the Bible. But it makes a difference to have an uppercase and a lowercase on a letter, on a word. But you don't catch that when you read your Bible. But what happened was they just defiled. Is every word pure? I believe every letter is pure. Amen. I believe every letter is pure. I believe every comma is pure. I believe every dot on every I is pure, friend. I've never handled the Word of God deceitfully on purpose. And yet people will walk away and argue. If it's wrong... If it's wrong, and people have called me out before, if it's wrong, let's discuss it. Amen. I ain't talking about right and wrong. I'm talking about deceitful. That's me knowing that I'm wrong and trying to work you over. Yeah. It's working my craftiness on you. For some reason, I'm twisting that thing around with a purpose that I have to come out on top, to have some kind of advantage here. There's something else in the workings. I ain't talking about right and wrong. I'm talking about deceiving. I say that kind of stuff because many times I say stuff and people blow it off. And they count it as absolutely nothing or get mad. Now, listen, don't get to thinking, well, the preacher's just justifying himself. Because some of this sounds like I might be trying to justify myself. And you were to believe what I'm saying. That's not it at all. What I'm trying to expose to you is that the devil makes people think these things. That's a tool that he does. And I'm just trying to tell you, honestly, where I'm at. I don't, listen, God called me in this thing. God placed me in his church. I don't have to be here.
Man,
y'all give me a little money and I thank God for it. But I'm not counting on the money of this church. I'm not depending on the money of this congregation. By the grace of God, before I deceive you and before I screw with your head, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'll just go back to work Monday morning, go out there like we always do. We don't have to come in here and fool you. I'm not profiting that much off of it.
Right.
What good is it if I come in here and try to deceive you and tell you something that's wrong? And it ain't about me telling you what's wrong. It's about me being a servant of the Lord, not sitting around and practicing what I'm going to say, but just opening my mouth every once in a while and letting God speak through my lips. And yet people want to turn around and take it between me. And it's not between me and them. It's between you and God. You know how many times I preach? I sit over there this morning, that man taught Sunday school, and the Holy Ghost of God took that dagger, the Word of God, and stuck it in my heart. And he wasn't sweet enough, bless God, just to stick the dagger in my heart. Amen. The Holy Ghost ain't no sissy about sticking that dagger in your heart. He stuck that dagger in my heart, and he began to just wrench that thing in my heart. Man, a few things that were said, I said about, oh, I felt the dagger in my heart. And then all of a sudden, I felt that thing begin to just rip. And I got lower and lower and lower. And I thought, oh, God, that's me. And I sat there when the man first started, not because I'm good, but because I know what this Bible teaches and I know what I've got to say sometimes about, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I know what God wants me to deal with. And this day, I sit right here this morning, that man of God began to teach. And I said, Lord, open my eyes. Show me something. God, help me draw closer to you. Lord, whether I like it or not, would you please open my eyes today and let me see?
Amen.
Boy, I'm telling you, it wasn't that he walked over there with a kiss. It is sweet. It is lovely. I tell you, when he stabs you in the heart, it may seem dreadful. It may seem hateful. It may seem mean. But that's some of the sweetest things that God will ever do in our life. Stab us in the heart. I don't want you to ever get confused that the preacher's being deceitful. The preacher's being crafty. The preacher has premeditated. And yes, every once in a while, God will give me thoughts on Monday that I got to deal with all week long. And I promise you one thing. I don't get to come preach down to people. Brother Church is a preacher. He knows what I'm saying. I don't get to come preach down to people. When I preach, a lot of times I stand and preach under such conviction I can't hardly preach. Because I'm guilty. God's speaking to me. And for me to stand up here and say this stuff and act like I'm above reproach and be a hypocrite. And I don't want to deceive you with that. I told my wife last night, I said, honey, my life is almost, you don't know all the details and you don't need to know all the details. And I've moved very fast and opened up some ugly in my wife's life. But I want to keep some of those things don't need to be told. There's things in my life that I hope nobody ever knows. Amen. God, so much shame, but I've renounced those things, friend. That's what Paul was saying.
Right.
Hey, listen, if I stand up here and preach this stuff, you better believe I try to live this stuff.
Amen.
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 Because every time I preach something, I want you to hear me, folks. Every time I preach something and I live contrary to it, the Holy Ghost does not hesitate. I mean instantaneously, the second that I get out of whack with what I preach, the Holy Ghost always there to go, hey.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Wait a minute now, that ain't what you preached. I'll never get to go against my own preaching with a free will. It's always, ladies and gentlemen, against the will of God, and he always brings it to my attention. Always brings it to my attention. I could tell you things that I preached 15 years ago that I'm still having to live it. Why, man? Because I've renounced all them shameful things. And now I'm trying to tell you what the truth is. And I have to try to live this truth. If I stepped up in the pulpit next week and I knew something was wrong and I twisted that, deceived you with it, you think for a half a second I would get by with that? Now, I told Zach Thursday morning, I said, Zach, Wednesday night was one of the most real services that I've ever been involved in. We didn't swing from the chandeliers, and it wasn't really intense. We had some fun. There was some laughing. But I said, that was one of the most real services I've been in a long time. Just real, man. You know them brothers, they say, keep it real, man. And it was just real. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see, the realness of this thing, folks. And it ain't that I get to get up here and say whatever I want to you. And man, I get to deceive you and I'm using craftiness and I get to live any old way I want. I don't get to live any old way I want
Amen.
To. I can be honest with you and tell you the Lord has changed the desires of my heart. Amen. I don't want to live a drunkard's life no more. Amen. I don't want to have to pop pills no more. I don't want to have to do that. Amen. I didn't have to anyway. It was a choice. I chose to do that stuff. I don't want to live the life of a sinner. I don't want to live against the will of my Father. I want to line up with Him. That's the desires I have now. Not that I'm a good person. God's done that stuff in us.
That's right.
Why would somebody blow it off? Why would somebody get mad? They're looking at it wrong. We're looking at things wrong. This stuff is for our good. As bad as it seems, as mean as I can say some of this stuff. And I think sometimes maybe if I just used a little psychology instead of saying it so, and God said, don't you bring psychology in that place. Let me tell you why people walk away with this stuff, Brother Church, because the devil's bamboozled them. That they believe that what I'm saying is irrelevant. What the preacher says is irrelevant. And folks, I don't take that personal. Sometimes it hurts, and yes, sometimes I guess I would take it personal. But I'm not preaching a person, a person, David Vernon. I just look at it and go, man, the devil's got them so bamboozled they can't see the truth. Got them bamboozled. Let me remind you, I promise, I'm not here to deceive you. I'm not here to be dishonest with you. I told her last night that I open up all kind of stuff in my life. I say all kind of stuff. There's things that I say about me and things that I've done in the past that when I leave church, I wish to God I'd never even said. I went, man, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't said. You know, my little trip, I ain't even going to remind you, but there's things, I'm not even going to remind you what I said. There's things that I've said, and I went, man, I probably shouldn't have said that. I wish I hadn't said that. But it just came out. But it's not to deceive you. It's not to be dishonest with you. I'm just honest. I'm very honest, very sometimes too honest, and I say too much sometimes. It's not being crafty. It's not just to make you mad, but it's the truth, and maybe God wants you to hear it. Brother Church, I've only had 3 boys. But would you believe every once in a while maybe God wanted me to understand that my 3 boys when I was raising them was full of the devil? I can look back now and tell you time and time again where my children was just escorting unclean spirits.
Amen.
And, when a preacher, and this is not what I'm talking about, but let's clarify. When a preacher stood up and said, your kids is full of the devil, well, I knew they was full of the devil. I knew that. And I'm not picking on them. I'm being ugly. I was a kid, and my mother sat right here, and I was full of 10,000 devils. But God saved me, Miss Stephanie. God saved me. And every one of us can be saved. But if those men would have went beyond, your children are full of the devil and said, your children have unclean spirits. That's a different little tune, man. That's a different phrase right there. They got devils. The problem with these children is they've got devils. And that don't go over well today, Mama. I can say it in our congregation and feel friction and disagreement and, you know, as if I'm ignorant and stupid and I don't understand. And I'm not here to argue about that. I'm just here to tell you what 90% of our problem is. 90% of it is these devils. It's unclean spirits. It's Lucifer himself. And about 10% is, you know, us, our flesh. But he feeds a lot of that stuff. It's not here to deceive you. I'm just trying to tell you maybe God wants you to hear something and you go, what if that's the truth? That's what I'm talking about being real. What if I'm just telling you the truth? What if what I'm saying really is real?
Right.
What if what I'm saying is the truth? What if I'm not trying to be crafty? What if I'm trying not to deceive you? What if I'm not trying to pull the wool over? What if I'm just trying to tell you the truth from my secret place? God's revealed some things to me, and we'll get there. You ever stop to think maybe it's the truth? Maybe God just has you here to hear some of this stuff? Because it ain't going to do me no good to deceive you in it. What can I benefit out of telling you some things about your children that you don't like to hear? What benefit is that to you, preacher? It ain't about you and your preacher. It's about you and your God. It's about you and God and raising them children and seeing what you need to see to be able to get them youngins to God. People didn't say a whole lot about the stuff that I talk about when I was raising children. I come up underneath great preachers. I heard some of the best preaching in our country, ladies and gentlemen. God blessed me with a lot of light growing up. God's blessed me with a lot of light raising my children. But I didn't hear a lot of the things that I say to y'all the way that I say things to y'all. Maybe they said it and it just went over my head. Nobody ever looked at me and said, hey, your children's got unclean spirits. And now I can look back at time and time again and go, man, look at them foul spirits. And even when they got a little bit older in high school and stuff, instead of me, I could see them real clear. Does that mean that I hated my children? I love my children. I still love my children. I love for my boys to be around. I love for my boys to hang out with me. I love my boys to run around this town with me. I love that stuff. But still, I recognize those unclean spirits. Mm-hmm. And Jacob's here today, and Zach ain't here. So today, Jacob is my favorite son. He's my favorite. I favor him above all of them. And when he's gone and Zach's back, I'll flip-flop on that. They always accuse me of loving Zach the most. Zach's dad's favorite. What do you expect me to do? Zach gets up and comes and helps me. They eat my food. They use my toilet. They do all these things. Zach shows up to help me. Amen. Yeah. I don't even make Zach flush my toilets. You just use my bathroom, Zach. You don't have to flush. You're so special. Say amen right there, Jake. Maybe God wants us to hear some truths that we don't like to hear. You ever thought, man, why did God put me over here with this hillbilly?
Man.
Why didn't God give me an eloquent man? Maybe God wants you to hear some plain truths. Do you think you're here by mishap? Do you think it's coincidence? Do you think you just, man, luckily found this place? I wouldn't call it luck. Or do you think maybe God had something to do with directing you and your family here and getting to hear some things, man, that may not be pretty, but at least it's the truth.
Right.
And if we'll take heed to it, it'll save our souls from hell. It'll save our children from hell. I'm telling you, man, it'll give them a better eternity. This life, hey, listen, I can't promise you a better life here, Miss Tanya. I can't promise your children a better life. Your children might live for God. They might be the greatest saints this earth has ever witnessed. And they may go through more hell and more suffering and more persecution than you've ever imagined in your life. I can't tell you how great life is going to be here. But I can tell you one thing. This light affliction that we suffer in here is just for a moment. Right. Praise God. I tell you, I'd like to see some of them martyrs today. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to see some of them folks in heaven today that was beheaded for the cause? Yeah. Some of them old boys burned at the stakes. Wouldn't you like to see them in heaven today? Wouldn't that be a blessed sign? I'm telling you, there's something special for them folks. There's something special up there for them.
Yeah.
Amen. I might be ashamed to even go close to them. I'm so sorry. I ain't never suffered hardly any ever persecution. Them old boys got burned at the stakes. Had to sit there and watch their wives and daughters get raped. Watch them cut the eyeballs out of their daughters, cut the tongues out of their wives. Don't you men get excited when I make that statement? Cutting the tongues out of my wife. That was brutal. That was ugly. That's awful. Can you imagine those old boys in heaven? Praise God. Amen, son. What's profit? You think them old boys was trying to deceive people? You think they were using their craftiness to get theirself over to that stake? Be burned to death? Man, no. They said if you'll denounce, you'll denounce Jesus, and their families would sit back there being persecuted in front of them. They'd say, don't you dare. Don't you dare back up on God. Don't you dare renounce Jesus Christ. Man, they'd sit there and cut the tongue out of one of them. Them men would sit there and stay faithful. I wasn't trying to fool nobody. I tell you, your kids might have to go through some of that if they live for God. Who knows what lies around the corner of this wicked world?
Right.
I'm telling you, this little old life that we have today, it's about over.
Man.
I mean, it's about over. You say, no, not us. Now, I ain't trying to get political. I ain't trying to do that. But what you going to do if the only thing you can find to eat is like the Venezuelans, you go out there and get some bark off a tree and ball it.
Right.
Hey, I ain't talking about in the Great Tribulation. I'm talking about in the year 2020. Them Venezuelans is over there cutting the bark off of trees because there's nothing else to eat.
Right.
I'd venture to say there might be a couple of them that knows God too that's having to deal with some of that communism. It won't be the first time somebody that knew God had to deal with communism. This kind of stuff that we're saying, and not just today, preaching the Word of God, it may come across as shrewd. It may come across as mean. And I don't mean to be mean. It's not my intention. I'm just flat-footed. I'm dogmatic. I'm serious about it. It'll get your marriage off the rocks. Well, we could have us a time right there. I don't know where y'all been. I don't know what all y'all done, and I don't know what all this old boy's done. But I guarantee you we've been in enough church services in the past, and we can tell you we've seen homes that was on the rocks. We've seen God save them husbands and save them wives and take them homes and put them back together again. Preacher, that couldn't happen to me. You don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. You don't know what lies ahead. But I'm telling you what the answer is. It's in that book. It's Jesus Christ. It'll get your marriage off the rocks and put them on the rock. It'll teach your children. Watch this. It'll teach your children the realness of God. Now, I have the realness of God, preacher. Let me tell you about how much of the realness of God is in our entire society, including your home. Maybe that much.
Right.
If the realness of God is so real in our society today, then why is all of these youngins going to hell? Why is all the youngins leaving church and running out to the world? Not yours, because you still got yours right here. You still got yours right here. You can control your kids as it is right now. But me and her's got some that's grown, and we can't put them under our thumb no more. But the church has got some that's grown, and he can't put them under his thumb no more. He ain't got control. Things begin to change when those kids start gaining control of their own life. And I see it, Miss Demi. I've watched it, and Brother Church has watched it. Michael, you can stop and think about it. And Miss Tanya, you can stop and think about it. And Eric, you can stop and think about it. You think about all the kids that you've seen growing up in the house of God, and how few of them are still faithful and right with God in the house of God. You say, preacher, what is it? There's no realness of God. Do you blame them? I don't blame most of the kids for going to the world. They see mom and dad shout at church. They see mom and dad carry a King James Bible and live like a bunch of dogs everywhere else. That ain't real. That ain't real. At least they can go smoke a real joint and get a real high with a real crazy crowd. And they believe what they say they believe. Man, you can get high. Well, you can sure enough get high. You can have a good time for a little while. There's pleasure in that sin for a season.
Right.
Boy, Boy, I'd like to take you down to the jailhouse at the other side of that verse, though. Take you down there to the prison. I'd like to take you down there to the mental hospitals and take you down there to the regular hospitals and let's check up on some of them diseases and sin. Sin. I'm just saying, moms and dads, there's a realness of God in this thing. The presence of God. And I'll never forget one of the things that old fallen preacher said. He said, Dad, if you're out there with a team of mules and you're plowing that garden and Junior comes to you and he says, Dad, I got a question. What you want to do if God is real to you is stop that team of mules and say, what is it, son? Take time for that son. That's letting him see Jesus in you. But most of us ain't even got time, bless God, to turn a TV off long enough to say, hey, what is it, boy? Could you imagine 99% of the kids in America today going to interrupt their daddy while watching a stupid football game? That kid's not going to get help during a dad's football game. World Series, and that little boy has a life problem. I mean, to him, a 15-year-old, this girl is the most important thing in his world to a 15-year-old. And mom and dad, oh, good night. Shut up with all that puppy love. Mom and dad better pay that a little more attention. Yeah. Better pay that a little more attention. Because if you shun that off, they're going to find their answer somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's not a realness of God. Realness of God is showing up taking time. You know, it's amazing. We can go to church and put on the Ritz and act like, you know, we're good parents. And then when we get home, we ain't got time for them. We're busy, you understand? We're busy. Can I tell you what? It's a terrible time to raise kids. I think about it sometimes, Miss Stephanie, and it's awful. See, listen, don't block me out before I finish, but it seems like an awful time, an awful world to raise kids in. But would you believe God raised up John Kennedy to handle the situations that John Kennedy handled? I believe God raised up John Kennedy to face the adversity that he faced. I don't know if another man could have handled it like he did. Oh, no, no man would have handled it like he did. Every situation, it seems like God raises up a particular person to handle this time and era and the situations in that time and era. Can I tell you something? We're facing some dark days, and I ain't trying to be doom and gloom, but God knows. You know good and well. The future don't look very good. But Eric, do you know what God done? God thought enough about you, and he thought enough about you, Michael, to give you kids to raise in these kind of messes. And your kids, if you do this right, your kids can be repairers of the breach.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. What a great time, man, to be raising kids. I mean, God has entrusted us to have children in our quiver and even fill our quiver with some and to be able to take those kids to the house of God and take hold of the Word of God and man, raise those kids up for times like these. God knows what He's doing. God knows exactly what He's doing. My generation probably couldn't have handled raising kids at times like these. God's got you here, and God's got your children in your life to raise them up for times just like these. You can't raise them up the same way I raised my, it's different times. Different prep work. Amen. You're going to have to do some things different than what I did. I don't always try to preach or tell you what, we always need to whip them. Amen. Say amen, girls. Always. We all raise your hand. Say, yes, we do. Yes, Lord. More weapons. I'm just watching kids go to the world by the thousands. And I have to say, that's just no realness of God. Man, when God got real to me, son, I want to be at the house of God. Just stop and think for a second. I know people that, and I'm going to quit. I'm not going to get what I wanted to get to. I'm trying to get to one main tool. But I know people that claim to know God. and they claim to believe God, and they claim to love God. And some of those same people have wore me out this week with text and phone calls in a tizzy over what's going on in Washington, D.C. I don't like what's going on in Washington, D.C. I don't like it at all. But I ain't taking no pills to calm myself down.
Man.
I ain't worked up over it. I don't like it. I don't like about anything that goes on in Washington, whether they're rioting or protesting or climbing walls or not. I don't want to like anything up there because they've almost excluded God. Hey, listen, how come people ain't talking about Brahma? Why are they talking about all them protesters up there climbing walls? I don't give a flip. Let them climb walls. They have a right to climb a wall if they want to climb a wall. Antifa had a right to climb walls and walk through neighborhoods with guns and threaten people that had a little bit of something. I mean, Black Lives Matter had a right to do all that. Hey, whether they're liberals or conservatives, I don't know and I don't care. Amen. Let them climb the stinking wall. As far as I'm concerned, I think they ought to storm the House of Congress.
Man.
I think they ought to go in there and take over. Amen. I think we about need us a revolution. Amen. Try to get God back in on this thing. We're so eat up with wickedness, it's pathetic. I ain't here to preach that stuff. But you, God gave you kids to raise in times like these. I'm just not in a tizzy over it. I hadn't laid down one night this week and went, God, what are we going to do?
Man.
I hadn't woke up one morning with a bite in my nails going, what are we going to do? Man, this thing's about to fall. The wheels is about to fall. And the wheels are about to fall off. I mean, it's about to get turned upside down. I ain't worried about it. I'm not ignorant about it. I'm not shutting my eyes to it. But it sure ain't got me out of shape. I'm not in a tizzy. I didn't want Joe Biden to win. I didn't want, it ain't Joe Biden to win, it's that woman. I didn't want her to win. Joe Biden ain't never been a man. He ain't never been a man. He ain't never been a man in his home. He ain't never been a man in his relationship. And he's not going to be a man in the White House. He'll be a puppet. I got to say it. I got to hurry up before inauguration and say what I got to say about him. You know what I'm worried about, Michael? You know what I'm concerned? I ain't worried about. You know what I'm concerned about? Not Washington, D.C. I'm concerned about what's going on in that King James Bible.
Right.
Why ain't we concerned about what's going on? Listen, I told that one fellow, I said, hey, why would you send me a stupid stuff? I said, that was the biggest waste of my 15 minutes of life that I've ever had. I couldn't care less about these stinking groups that's raising up.
Right.
I don't get, hey, if they raise up, they raise up. You know, I might even enjoy some of it. But man, that ain't my concern. Hey, why didn't he send me a good Bible message? Why didn't he send me some good Bible verses? Why didn't he send me a copy of Alexander Scorbin reading the book of Matthew? Oh, no, they got these little old groups and all these little militias. And man, this thing's about to happen. And well, they're going to do this and they're going to do this. What about Jesus?
Man.
What about Jesus? Give a flip about them crazy people, man. I just want to know about the Lord. I don't want to be ignorant what's going on in my society.
Right.
And I'm not, by the grace of God, going to be ignorant about my society. But what concerns me is what we do with Jesus. That's what concerns me. And people's all up in the air about this stuff. And I don't think it's wrong to know it. And it's not even wrong to discuss it. But it ain't got me at wit's end. I can tell you, listen, and I'm trying to quit. I know, Brother Church, the dung is about to hit the fan. I'm not here to build a political platform. I don't even like talking about it in times like these. But ladies and gentlemen, when the House is controlled by the liberals and the Senate's controlled by the liberals and the Oval Office is controlled by the liberals and, I mean, the whole government is in control by the liberals. Hey, do you think that they just got some new ideas that they're going to try to get across? I want you to keep in mind that it was our enemy said that they can destroy America without ever firing a shot. And that wasn't said yesterday. Here's the statement that Jim Stetcher did make. They will overcome us, not with a weapon of gunfire. They'll get us by a germ. Now, that's what he told me several years ago. A germ. God gave you children to raise for times like these. Ain't that a blessing? And those children can't be raised for times like these without a realness of God in your life. And it don't happen around here, not that I can tell, but most of the time I know when children shun me. I love children, and they usually get along pretty good. We go on about the same intellectual level, and so we kind of jee-haw, me and children. Josiah likes me so good because me and him are there together. We're right there. I'm at his grade level. And I forgot what I was saying. What? Preach, girl. Praise God. Miss Holly, the only time children have ever shunned me in my entire ministry was either when mom and dad were running their mouth.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost conviction was on. That Holy Ghost gets a hold of a man. You see him sitting around looking at you like the boogeyman. You're the culprit, preacher. They don't quite understand it. But then all of a sudden, when they get saved, they just fall in love with the preacher. But then when mom and dad says things, they get in the vehicle and they go, I don't know. Them kids know a lot more than what we think. And they're picking up on them spirits and them attitudes, right, and those words and them roast and, you know, roast preacher and stuff like that. They're picking up on that stuff. Then they start looking at the, and y'all youngins ain't looking at me cross-eyed, but they do look at the preacher cross-eyed. And I usually know why. And now you know why. But you know what that kid says? God ain't real to my mom and dad. It ain't me that you're hurting. Yeah. You don't have to just jee-haw on me. She does. But man, for God's sakes, don't destroy your children over it. Don't destroy your children. I'm going to quit. I'm not going to get nowhere. Paul said, but if our gospel be hid, it's not going to be hid from David Vernon. David Vernon is saved by the grace of God. It's not going to hurt me for somebody not to tell the truth. I mean, you know, it won't help me, but it's not going to damn me. It's not going to damn me, Brother Church. But I'll tell you what it's going to do. It'll damn those of you that are lost. He said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid from them that are lost. Paul said, I'm not here to hide it. I'm here to proclaim it. You know why? Because God has manifested that word to me. God has revealed that word to me. God has had me over there and showed me what that word is saying. And here I am. I'm coming out here and I'm telling it. And if I don't tell it, I'm hiding it only from those that are lost. But I ain't going to do that. I want to put it out there and let you see it, let you deal with it. Hey, put it out there on the table so that you can see it to deal with it. I'm not here to hide it. I'm not here to cover it up. I'm not here to smooth it over. I'm here, praise God, to put it on the table for you and to turn the lights on as God's turned them on for me. You say, preacher, what do you preach? I can only preach what God has opened my eyes to let me see. There's a lot of things in that Bible. My son came to me the other day and asked me a Bible question. I said, man, I don't have a clue. I said, let's look at it. And I looked at it one way and, yeah, it's okay. We can make it fit. And then I got to looking up definitions on the words in the passage. And I began to see it. And I went, man, I could have never preached that without studying that for a minute. And I could have gave you an answer like most people do, just give you an answer. But I started looking at them words and seeing what them words was about, and God gave me a clear understanding. And that's what I do, Eric, when I come in here. I don't study the Hebrew and the Greek, and as the preacher said this morning, I'm not grabbing commentaries and writing down and plagiarizing what somebody else done or said. I'm not operating in another man's dead spirit. Those men that's gone and dead, and oh yeah, I've got little pieces of Joe Parsons and Sammy Allen and Pat McNair and all those men. And there's little pieces in there, but I'm not trying to minister through their spirit. They're dead. And that's about all we've got today anyhow, is a bunch of dead men's spirits. It's about all people's operating on anymore. Instead of the Spirit of God. But what I'm trying to tell you is, I sit down, man, and I open that Bible, and I'll look at them words, and I'll chase and cross-reference. And go, but then God enlightens me. And I'm telling you, sure as a Martin goes to a gourd, I was sitting in my living room about 2 weeks ago, and God opened my eyes as much as He's ever opened them, and showed me something, and took me straight over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we still ain't got there as highly. But He made this thing so plain and so real to me. He made it so clear to me. I said, praise God, that's a problem. It's a problem. You know what I'm trying to tell you? There's a lot of this stuff that I'm saying is a problem with people getting to God. People aren't getting to God because of the stuff in 2 Corinthians 4. They're not getting to God. And there's a reason that a lot of this stuff's going on. There's a reason. And it's in there. We're not going to get there today. Sort of like a soap opera. Just keep you hanging. And these are the days of our lives. God forgive me for saying that in the pulpit. Don't forget, folks, why we're here and what we're doing. And don't get crossed up, will you, preacher? I'm not saying you have to cater to me and do a... Man, just think about the realness of it, the reality of it, how God operates. And man, I'm trying to tell you what God's told me. And y'all are all smarter than I am. I mean, all of you, Stephen, because he's got enough sense to wash his feet. But all of you are smarter than I am. But Miss Debbie, you know what the difference is? God chose to put me in this place. And God will enlighten me. He'll make manifest the Word of God to me. And He'll make manifest the Word of God to you. But you know what He's making manifest to me? Things that He wants me to say to this congregation. Things that He wants me to... And I'm very sensitive. I'm trying to quit, but I'm very sensitive. I'm very sensitive about what's being said. I sit over here sometime before I go, and the Spirit of God will give me thoughts, and I sit there and question, Michael, would you believe I had no intentions whatsoever of exposing those devils from Wednesday night? But I was sitting over here, and the Lord said, I want you to bring that up. He shined a light on that in my life sitting right over there and said, I want you to bring that up. And so I get up here and I look like a jerk and I sound like a jerk and I sound like a crazy, you know, weirdo. But you know what? God's the one that told me to say. And if I'm wrong about that, then I'm just wrong. But I'm not being wrong to deceive anybody. I didn't say any of that God told me to say to deceive anybody. If I'm wrong about it, maybe God will show me that I'm wrong about it. But God's the one that showed it to me. And I told somebody just this week, I said, the problem that I have is relaying the message sometimes like God gave it to me. I'm a bad copycat. Man, God sometimes will show up, Brother Church can tell you, and He'll start manifesting them truths to you. He'll start shining light on that, and it gets so good, Miss Debbie, and you want to grab a pen, and you want to start writing it down, and you cannot write it fast as God. God's a blessing you. He's a pouring that stuff on and pouring it in, and man, them things will just overtake you, and I'm telling you, man, you get up and you tell other people, and it ain't nowhere near as good as it was when God told you. Just wasn't nowhere near as good. And then I sit down and listen to other preachers. Man, I go, man, I do can preach. Boy, he gets that word across. I wished I could get it across like that. And I even thought, man, I'm going to study some lawyers. I'm gonna study some lawyers. So I bought a DVD pack of this good lawyer. He charged about $300 an hour. Had to be good. Matlock. Y'all might have heard of him. I said, man, I want to be able to present it. Like a good lawyer. You know, that's how I feel sometimes, like I'm just a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Standing in the courtroom and trying to present my case. But it's the case of Jesus Christ. I'm just kidding about all that Matlock stuff. Man, he was a liberal, didn't have but one suit. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, dear God, to say some things. Lord, we just don't handle this word deceitfully. And I need these people, dear God, to see why I'm in this thing. And I'm in this thing for the glory of God. I'm in this thing for the sake of sinners. I'm in this thing to see their children, God, come to know Jesus Christ and have a life in Jesus. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd give us some understanding, dear Lord God. We might get some things cleared up and get some things out of our hearts and some things out of our minds and just some junk out of our eyes that ought not be there, God. And Lord, we might be able to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, you'd help me to lay some of this groundwork till we get to the root of it, dear Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.